Hello, this is Elizabeth, and I am a true believer in the authentic potential within each and every child. And I want to share with you today 7 things that will prepare a child to be successful in life in all the ways that truly matter. First and foremost, each child needs to know how to receive love from others. And in order to receive love, they need to be in a place where they're capable of receiving love. Their heart must be soft and supple. Of course, some children have been through neglect, abuse, trauma, great loss, and other adverse events that prevent them from being as likely to be open and to receive love. So for those children in your sphere of influence, do whatever you can to nurture them and to attend to them so that they can begin to see hope and be encouraged that, yes, there are people who are there for me. And this will help to soften the hearts of even the children who have gone through great loss or difficulties. The first life lesson that every child needs to learn is how to receive love from others. The second life lesson is, of course, how to give love, how to attend to the needs of others, how to care about them, how to look for good in others, and to think about what they need, and to put their needs, even where appropriate, ahead of their own. We need our children to know how to love others. That's showing kindness and giving of themselves in ways to be a blessing to others, whether it's in the classroom or in the home environment or a social setting, whatever it might be. They need to know how to love others. This is actually more important than them just thinking about their own needs. If they can think about you first, me second, with healthy boundaries, of course, they will be prepared to live a life of love. And that is a key place from which success and all of life's bounty begins to unfold. Thirdly, they need to know how to forgive others. If someone has disappointed them or taken something from them that didn't belong, such as their favorite toy, or maybe hid some paper that they needed. And of course, some infractions are grievous and are more significant, but I'm talking about just basic day-to-day kinds of things that happen. They need to know how to forgive that. And of course, we all know as life unfolds, there will be other things that happen that will be much harder to forgive. We want to model for our children and for our students a heart that knows how to forgive, because people, children, need to know how to forgive, because life is going to dole out some things that are going to be disappointing and really difficult. But if they can come at it from a place of forgiveness, it will reset their heart, energize their soul to move on. Because we all know that when we hold on to unforgiveness, it really sets us, the person not forgiving, back. And we don't want that for our children. We want them to be free to flourish. And forgiveness is key to flourishing in life. Fourthly, we want to teach them how to visualize success for others. In other words, how to not only think about themselves, but to think about good things and good potential and good possibility in their siblings, in their friends, in their classmates, in adults around them. We want to teach them how to close their eyes and imagine good things happening for that person and that person doing good things. For example, if they have a friend who loves to play soccer and would love to be a professional soccer player, it's a good idea to teach the child how to think about their friend's success and how to talk with them about their friend's success and encourage them. So yes, we want to teach them how to paint on the inner canvas of their mind the success for those around them. Then, of course, the fifth lesson is a logical extension of the fourth lesson, and that is we want to teach our children how to visualize and act on their own strengths. We want to teach them to visualize good things in and for themselves. For example, if you have a child who loves science and is interested in being a marine biologist one day, teach them to close their eyes and imagine what it would be like to become a marine biologist. Now, of course, to do this and to facilitate that imagination, you might need to look at some pictures, read a few books, look at a few YouTube videos to give them some concrete context of what that might look like. And then talk to them about what are the steps you're going to need to take to become a marine biologist. Well, we're going to need to work hard now in school and get help when we're struggling and be willing to embrace help when we're struggling. And most importantly, we're going to need to persist and not give up, because at some point there will be some bumps along the way and sometimes some significant difficulty. But we don't stop dreaming. We want to help our children keep the dream alive, and that literally includes them visualizing what they hope and expect to be and do one day. Now, of course, let's not forget the visualizing for the moment. Let's say they have a presentation coming up. Before they do that presentation, in addition to preparing for the presentation, we also want them to stop and close their eyes and imagine themselves presenting that presentation, letting it unfold on the canvas of their mind, step by step, scene by scene. What does it look like? What does it feel like? What is it like just across the board to give this presentation? Helping your child learn to visualize their own success in the moment, in the near future, and for the far off future helps to engender hope, and it fuels the possibilities within their brain of what they're able to accomplish, what they're able to be, and what they're able to do. And also helping them develop the cognitive habit of visualizing about their own potential for the right now and for the far off future, it's going to help them navigate those tough waters when they're in high school, college, and beyond. They're going to know, let me take a moment to stop and think about my success. Well, let's pretend like one day your child becomes or wants to become a nurse practitioner, but he or she is taking some kind of advanced chemistry course in college and they're really having a tough time. If you have laid the groundwork for teaching them, you will encounter difficulties. But if you will stop and persist and problem solve and find ways to get help and visualize your success moving forward, they will have what they need to move ahead. Truly, the cognitive habit of visualizing one's own success, both for the now, the near future, and the far future, are key to helping them open the doors of promise and possibility for themselves and with good effect for those around them. And then number 6 on our list is, of course, how to work diligently, how to work hard, how to do difficult things, how to persist with grit. Because let's be real, not everything's going to be easy and fun all the time. Maybe your child loves it when they get to go to basketball practice, but they absolutely abhor doing anything related to reading at home. But it's going to require some persistence, working with mom, working with the interventionist at school or an outside specialist, putting those hours in to build those reading skills. We must help our children learn on a psychological level and an actual physical acting out level. We have to work hard. We have to persist. What are some ways to teach your child a work ethic? First of all, it must be modeled. They need to see their parents and other adults and teachers in their lives modeling doing difficult things, even though it's not much fun. And it's okay to talk out loud about it and say, right now, I'm going to take the next hour to organize this front closet. It's not my favorite thing to do, but it is important and it's worth my time. So I'm going to build a little plan and work through this for the next hour, or whatever it might be. When they hear you doing difficult things and they know a little bit about what you're thinking about it, that it's difficult, yet I'm going to face it and I'm going to do the work. That is a great model for them, because children and all of us in general, regardless our age, we learn by what we see. Children are particularly impressionable. So when they see the adults around them engaged in diligent labor, faithfully doing the dishes, faithfully putting the laundry away, faithfully studying for for that college course to get that next degree or whatever it might be. Children are really blessed on a psychological level because what you're doing is you're giving them the message that hard things are possible. So you are laying the groundwork to help them then be able to do difficult things. But modeling hard work is not enough. We also have to hold them to account and require them to do difficult things. Now, I'm not saying that if your child has dyslexia, spend 3 hours learning a list of 20 spelling words. That's actually not what I'm talking about. For children with dyslexia, if they struggle with spelling and they haven't had enough effective intervention, spending 2 or 3 hours working on spelling words is not very effective. In fact, you'll get into a land of negative returns psychologically. Well, that was just a simple example. There's a difference between doing difficult work and having children do things that are not appropriate for them. For example, with that child with dyslexia, it would be more appropriate for them to have a shorter spelling list where the phonetic structures align with what phonics they're learning at that time during their intervention, and then limit the list and practice them with all kinds of multisensory strategies. That would be difficult enough for them. Back to the holding children accountable, we want to make sure that they have sufficient opportunities during the day at home, if they're homeschooling, at school during the day, in the evenings and on the weekends, to do things they don't want to do. Now, of course, some children will really resist. Their personality, they're stronger willed, or they just have more frustration when they're asked to do things they don't want to do. So sometimes you have to start in small increments and do it next to them. I remember when I would visit my grandmother, she would have me do the dishes, but she would always do them with me. We did them together, and she would talk with me about my day. And from that, I saw her doing the difficult work that wasn't much fun, and she was having me do it, and we were shoulder to shoulder, elbow to elbow, and it helped me to build the skill and the habit of wanting to do those when I needed to do them as well, the dishes, that is. So we want to take the time to model hard work for our children and persisting when things are difficult, and also hold them accountable to do difficult things. But you may have to do it incrementally if the task is truly difficult for the child, and or your child is a very, very strong-willed child. You may have to take it in small steps. Nevertheless, one of the most vital gifts we give our children and our students, both for themselves and for the world at large, is the ability to work and to persist, like paving a driveway with little pebbles. One pebble, faithfully laid at a time, builds a beautiful future for the child and those around him or her. Hard work, following through with diligence, that's our sixth lesson. And then the last lesson that we want our child's hearts and minds to know is that life is going to be difficult sometimes. Things will not always go our way. Things will be lost. People will be lost. You will fail sometimes. Sometimes difficult things will come through no fault of your own, but because of circumstances around you or choices other people made. We want our children to understand that even when there's great loss, discouragement, difficulty, failure, it's okay. Take a moment to be in pain. Take a moment to process the difficulty, but open your eyes and look at the hope of tomorrow. We must teach our children that in spite of difficulty, in spite of loss, there is always hope. We must have our children understand that a heart that is full of hope, even in the face of adversity, will triumph. These are the seven lessons I want every child to learn. And just to quickly recap, it's how to receive love, how to love others well. Thirdly, how to forgive others. Fourthly, how to visualize and partner with the success of others. And fifth, how to visualize their own strengths, both for now and in the future. And sixth, how to work diligently, how to persist even with difficult tasks. And lastly, how to have hope even in the face of difficulty, how to get up and keep going, holding fast to hope in your heart. From my heart to yours, keep loving those children and those young people well, because you are and you will continue to make a difference in their lives.